this is your Polycast for Monday, April 18th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, State Senator Terry Bonhoff launches a campaign for Congress against Republican Eric Paulson and a rematch in the 8th Congressional District. U.S. Senator Al Franken says time is running out for the state to fund its share of the Southwest Light Rail extension. Matt Sepik reports.
Most of the $1.8 billion in funding is in place, except for $135 million that would come from the state. Governor Mark Dayton and Minnesota Senate Democrats want a metro area sales tax to cover that. U.S. Senator Al Franken says the state risks losing nearly $900 million in federal money if state lawmakers don't act soon. But Minnesota House Republicans oppose any tax increase and want part of the state's surplus directed to roads and bridges. Franken, a DFLer, says the state can do both.
This is not coming from the pocket of money that would go to highways and to bridges, which we need to do.
The project would extend the Green Line more than 14 miles from downtown Minneapolis to Eden Prairie. Matt Sepik, Minnesota Public Radio News, Minneapolis.
And at the Capitol, DFL Governor Mark Dayton is calling on House Republican leaders to hurry up and release a detailed borrowing plan for public construction projects. Dayton proposed a $1.4 billion bonding bill back in January. The recent House budget targets show a $600 million bonding bill, but Republican leaders have not yet said which projects would be funded. Dayton said the House number is woefully inadequate and further explanation is needed.
People who depend on those projects, students, faculty, and the various college universities have a right to know which ones they propose to fund, which ones they propose to leave behind. And the sooner they get that kind of detail out, the sooner we'll have something real to talk about.
House Speaker Kurt Dowd said he doesn't expect to release bonding bill details until late in the session. Dowd says he supports a reasonable amount of bonding this session for projects of statewide and regional significance. DFL State Senator Terry Bonhoff of Minnetonka is taking a run at Republican Eric Paulson's seat in the U.S. Congress. Bonhoff declared her candidacy over the weekend at a DFL party convention at Minnetonka High School. She fell short in getting the DFL endorsement for the seat in 2008. She says she'll appeal to voters as a centrist.
My tagline since 2005 has been uniting the middle, because I think that is who people are. We are not extremes, and we have to reject the extremes because that isn't what our nation is founded on. We have to build bridges. We have to take the best ideas and come together to solve our really strong challenges.
Paulson's campaign manager, John Paul Yates, said he's confident about Paulson's reelection bid, but he acknowledges Bonhoff could offer a challenge.
It could be a more competitive race given the presidential race, but if you look at this district in 2012, Mitt Romney lost the district. The Republican candidate for Senate got about 34%. Senator Klobuchar, a Democrat, got 62%. And Eric Paulson was reelected with 58% of the vote. So he's able to capture the ticket splitting.
Eric Paulson has held the 3rd district seat since 2009. His smallest margin of victory in 4 elections was 8 percentage points. Yates says the district became stronger for Republicans with redistricting in 2010. A lot of special interest money is expected to flow into the race for Congress in Minnesota's 8th district this year, just as it did 2 years ago when Republican business executive Stuart Mills first took on DFL Congressman Rick Nolan. Nolan won a close race in 2014. Mills says he will win this fall's rematch. Mark Zadeklik has more.
When Republican Stuart Mills stepped away from his family's Fleet Farm business to run for Congress in 2014, Democrats portrayed him as a champagne-sipping, lobster-eating man of privilege who knew nothing about middle-class concerns. And they mocked his long hair in TV ads that suggested Mills was obsessed with himself. For round two against DFL Congressman Rick Nolan, Mills looks like a different person.
I did get a haircut. They're not going to have my appearance to pick on this time.
But Mills, who is 44, sounds much like he did during his first campaign.
Rick Nolan is wrong on national security, he's wrong on foreign policy, and he's wrong for the issues, both economically, health care, and our Second Amendment rights that we believe in our part of Minnesota.
Mills criticizes Nolan for urging President Obama to allow 100,000 Syrian refugees into the U.S., even though Nolan later supported a Republican bill that sought to make it more difficult for refugees from Syria and Iran to enter the country. Mills also says Nolan should not have supported the Iran nuclear deal.
I have more reason to run this election cycle than I did last election cycle.
Nolan, who is 72, says he supported the Iran nuclear deal because he thinks it reduces Iran's ability to develop a nuclear weapon. Nolan says he's been effective in Washington. Still, he predicts a tough and expensive campaign, just like the last one Mills almost won.
Now he's got himself a haircut and he's got a fat checkbook. I'd like to hope that, you know, a guy can't get a haircut and inherit a couple $100 million and buy a seat in the Congress. But, you know, stranger things have happened. We'll just have to see.
Nolan claims a solid record of trying to bolster the mining industry on the Iron Range. He says new steep tariffs are working.
We knew it would take a while because there was so much illegal steel that had been dumped into the marketplace. These tariffs are stopping it, but the surplus had to be consumed. So now North Shore Mining, Cliffs Natural, just announced they're bringing their people back to work May 15th.
Nolan also says he's helped move along the regulatory process for PolyMet's proposed precious metal mining. Nolan is supporting Bernie Sanders for president and agrees with Sanders that U.S. workers have lost out on trade deals. Like Sanders, Nolan says there's too much money in politics. Still, he's trying to raise $3 million for his reelection. The Mills and Nolan campaigns each spent about $2.1 million in 2014. Outside special interest groups spent much more, more than $12 million. Mills spent nearly $400,000 of his own fortune. He will not say how much he plans to spend this time. University of Minnesota Duluth political science professor Jeff Shegley says the presidential race is almost certain to bring out more Democrats than went to the polls 2 years ago when Nolan almost lost.
It's a district that probably looks a little bit more Democratic overall in 2016 than it did in 2014, but it's also not one where Mills doesn't have a chance to legitimately challenge Nolan for his seat.
Former Republican Senator Norm Coleman's American Action Network spent almost $750,000 trying to defeat Nolan 2 years ago, and Coleman says his group and many others will be back at it this year.
I certainly don't want to see Stuart Mills outspent. The Democrat campaign committee spent $1 million more than the Republican campaign committee last cycle.
Money aside, Mills says he's a stronger candidate this time around.
There is a comfort level that did not exist the last election cycle.
Nolan is banking on strong DFL turnout, but he says he's gearing up for a tough race, too.
And I'm up for it. I will campaign harder than I've ever campaigned in my life.
What remains to be seen is how 8th District voters will respond to the Republican and Democratic presidential nominees. Covering politics, I'm Mark Zedeklik, Minnesota Public Radio News, Washington.
And that's your Polycast for this Monday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.